Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Our commitments to protect the freedom of religion and to defend the dignity of LGBT people emanate from a common source.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian, but you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
You don't get any more intimate than to be there on your knees in the manger of your church, receiving in your own mouth this Christ in his body and blood.
I jokingly called this the Issues Etc. Revolution, the near complete sweeping out of the old guard that emphasized church growth practices down the line.
We had a big task ahead of us here in the first hour of Issues Etc. Rather long sermon review preached by Rick Warren. I've recently been thinking and writing a lot about the Great Commission, and Rick Warren, of course, talks a lot about the Great Commission. But the interesting thing is, when he starts to talk, he won't necessarily misquote the Great Commission, although he does have a real problem with quoting the Bible accurately, as we'll hear in this sermon review. It's not so much misquoting the Great Commission as emptying it of everything that Christ gives in the Great Commission. It pretty much just becomes marching orders for us. We do. Christ is gone. It's up to us. And so a lot of Rick Warren's preaching on the Great Commission end up being about what you're supposed to do or what you have done, or a view of what he and his church have accomplished over 30 years. We're going to review this sermon preached recently at Saddleback Church in Lake Forest, California, by Pastor Rick Warren of 40 Days of Purpose fame. Sermon preached on God's great mission for my life. We see if it gets close to the real Great Commission. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. That's the first hour, a little bit of sermon review. Rick Warren's preaching on God's great mission for your life. And then, in the second hour of the program, we're going to play for you an interview with Ronald Scott. He has recently written a book about Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney is now, at least the way people are counting the race in the GOP side of things today, one of the two guys. It's either Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's been running president for a long, long time. He's written a book about Mitt Romney, an inside look at the man and his politics. We're going to have this interview with Ronald Scott, and then I want to hear from you. Are you concerned about what is largely reported as a shift of position, a flip-flop, if you will, on the part of Mitt Romney on the issues of life and marriage? Does it concern you? And what about Mitt Romney's Mormonism? How does that play into his positions? Was he ignoring the positions of the Mormon Church on life and marriage when he was, at least reportedly, pro-choice and in favor of same-sex marriage? We'll see what Ron Scott has to say, and then I want to hear what you have to say. A little bit of audio, open lines, an hour or two of Issues Etc. We'll talk about GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney on the social issues. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us right here in the studio. We get them in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or go to our Facebook fan page where you can leave your reaction to our interview with Ronald Scott on Mitt Romney and your thoughts on Mitt Romney in general. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Facebook.com/IssuesETC. Now, every sermon review we do here on Issues Etc. follows pretty much the same criteria. It's based upon what ought to be the center of every Christian sermon. I know people think this is very restrictive to say that Christian preaching ought to be about Christ, but I'm an old-fashioned guy. I believe that if it's Christian preaching, and Christ said that we should proclaim forgiveness and repentance and forgiveness in his name to all nations, and he hasn't rescinded that instruction to us, then Christian preachers ought to preach the Christ rather than the Christian. So, it's very simple. It dawned on me one day, this was years ago, that you could actually, if you want to, you could actually measure this, in part at least, by just listening to the sermon carefully and answering three questions. The first one is, how often is Jesus mentioned? Seems so obvious. Well, what Christian preacher would get up there and not mention Jesus? It's amazing how many can and do. But sometimes Jesus is mentioned a little, like a little tiny footnote at the end or maybe the beginning. He's tossed in as an example. He's quoted along with the likes of Abraham Lincoln and Gandhi and JFK. He's a good source of material. But this is a simple running tally. How often is Jesus mentioned? Keep a running tally of how often you hear Jesus specifically. Not God generically, not the Lord, but specific references to Jesus Christ, the God-man, in this sermon. Now, if Jesus is mentioned, then go on to the second question you need to answer. Again, simple question. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? And you might say, what does that have to do with anything? Well, it has everything to do with if the pastor's actually telling you what Jesus has done or only mentioning Jesus in passing. Huge difference between the sentence says, Jesus walked down the road. There I am telling you something that Jesus did. Or, you walked down the road. You're the subject of the verbs in the second sentence. Jesus is the subject of the verbs in the first one. And if this is to be preaching about Christ, preaching the Christ rather than the Christian or something else, then Jesus ought to be the subject of the verbs. But you can't stop there. If Jesus is mentioned and he is the subject of the verbs, then you got to ask one more question at least. What verbs? What are the verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus is doing or has done or will do for you? Now, there are a lot of preachers out there who will mention Jesus all over their sermons, and he will be the subject of the verbs, but the verbs are the tricky part. They tell you about a Jesus who is there to essentially put his spiritual arm over your shoulder when you're feeling bad, or show you by example what you ought to do when you're doing bad, or maybe just root you on when you're doing good. It's a Jesus who inspires and motivates and coaches you through life. But not the Jesus who lives and suffers and dies as your substitute in his life and death and resurrection. There's a big difference there. So that's the criteria. Is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? And what are the verbs? And with that in mind, here's a sermon preached by Pastor Rick Warren on God's great mission for your life recently at his ginormous church that is now, he says, spreading over all the world. But he's preaching at Lake Forest Saddleback Community Church.
If you have an outline, take it out of your program and open your Bible to Mark chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 35 as the first verse we're looking at this weekend on God's great mission for my life. I was reading a book this week. It's on the failure of success in America. It's called Rich, Free, and Miserable. Rich, Free, and Miserable, a searing indictment of American life. It's by a guy named John Brueggemann, and he basically says, why, when we have so much, are we still unsatisfied? Why do our lives feel like they lack something, that they lack meaning, they lack purpose, they lack significance, they lack fulfillment, they lack satisfaction? And he answers this question by saying, in our relentless pursuit of more, we are destroying our souls and our relationships. I've got to have more things. I've got to have more money. I've got to have more experiences. I've got to have more popularity. I've got to have more success. In our relentless pursuit of wanting more, he says we're destroying the very thing that gives our lives significance and gives our lives meaning. And in this book, he begins with a story about climbers of Mount Everest. And he says, you know, climbing Mount Everest has no social benefit to it. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't save any lives. It doesn't make the world a better place. It is a purely ego-driven activity. People climb Mount Everest for one reason, to say, I did it. I did it. I climbed Mount Everest. It's a 100% ego-driven personal gain. It doesn't help anybody else in the world. And yet he says people will go to great expense and make great plans and travel long distances and spend a lot of time and money and energy and risk their own lives for a purely ego-driven mission. He says, one out of every 10 climbers of Mount Everest die on Mount Everest. And he said, most of those bodies are still there on the mountain. The corpses were left on the mountain. And he begins this book, Rich, Free, and Miserable, by telling the story of a guy named David Sharp. 5 years ago, May 16, 2006, David Sharp was a guy climbing Mount Everest. He has an accident. He gets hurt. He's injured. He's clearly dying on the mountain. During that day, 40 other climbers saw him, realized he was in obvious pain, and kept right on toward their goal. Walked right past this guy, and he died in the snow on the mountain because 40 other people were more concerned about their personal goal, their ambition, their dream, their idea. He calls this the Everest syndrome. And he says, we have gotten into such self-centered lives. It's all about me, my retirement, my goals, my plans, that we are missing people all around us who are dying on the side of the road, and we don't have a chance to stop and help them.
All right, now that's the, I guess that's the introduction. When you preach 70 minutes, you can have long introductions. But I think I know where he's headed here, that we are so goal-oriented, we're so focused upon our own personal goals that we miss the neighbor. Now, that's not a bad diagnosis of part of the problem here. Now, we'll see what he does with that, because he's going to go on and talk about your personal mission in life. And oddly enough, it comes right back around to your own self-fulfillment. Your mission is really just a means to your own personal happiness and fulfillment. We'll be right back.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church. It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Whether vacationing in Branson or boating on Table Rock Lake, Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church in Kimberling City, Missouri is your Christ-confessing congregation. Every week, Christ comes to us through the preached word and sacraments, by which we are strengthened and kept in the one true faith. So come to where Christ comes to you. Come to Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran Church, 103 Kimberling Boulevard in Kimberling City, Missouri. For more, see our website at sothl.com.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe that traditional Lutheran preaching, liturgy, and hymnody continue to deliver Christ crucified for sinners today. The Reformation attempted to return the Church's focus on what we do for God back to a focus on what God does for us, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures. Some things never change. The Gospel is still under attack from inside and outside the Church. To see how Lutheran doctrine and practice preserve the Gospel, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. A little sermon review. of a sermon preached recently by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church in Lake Forest, California, a sermon titled God, Great Mission for Your Life. And, well, so far so good. He's trying to diagnose a problem general in our culture that we are focused on our own personal goals. It's all about me. Now, there's irony so thick you can practically walk on top of it. In a lot of what Rick Warren has to say, when he begins to talk about your mission that God has given you, and you begin to realize that even though he rightly diagnoses the problem of people so obsessed with their own personal fulfillment that they will pass the neighbor on by and just become focused on themselves, if you read what he has to say and hear what he has to preach, really, well, even the mission is just about you doing important things, accomplishing great things, being able to say you did it. When all is said and done. So the very thing that he criticizes in the culture, he actually adopts. So that lost person, they just become for you a means to an end, a means for you to fulfill your purpose in life. I just don't see a big difference there. Now, Rick Warren is considered one of the greatest living experts on the Great Commission. Along with others like Bill Hybels and George Barna, these are the church growth gurus of today. Did you know that these men actually deny, they don't know they do, but they do if you read what they say, they deny most of what the Great Commission actually says? I've written about it recently in the Issues Etc. Journal, a two-part article called The Not-So-Great Commission, and you can read it for yourself, both parts in two separate journals. How do they do that again? They send an email to journal@issuesetc.org, and we will send it out to you. You can find the first part of it that is at our website under the publications page, issuesetc.org. Read the first part, and then you can send an email to journal@issuesetc.org, and we will send out the second part to you as well. It's called The Not-So-Great Commission. Back to the sermon. He has outlined the problem. We're all like people climbing Mount Everest, passing by a man who is dying because we're so determined to reach our personal goals.
We are certainly not loving our neighbors as ourselves, because I don't really care about the rest of the world. It's all about me, myself, and I. And he says, this is why we are rich, free, and miserable. Because we weren't made to live for ourselves. We weren't made to live for our own purpose. God has a greater mission in life. And we've been in this series on loving your neighbors yourself, where we've been looking at the Great Commandment, where Jesus says, I can summarize the whole Bible in two sentences. Love God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. Life is not about achievement. Life is not about accomplishment. Life is not about acquisition of things. You can do all three of those and still blow your life. Life is about learning how to love. It's the whole reason God created you. God is love. God wants you to learn to love him, and he wants you to learn to practice loving other people. And if you miss that, sorry, you just wasted your life.
No, he's a pretty straightforward guy here, and I think what he's trying to say is that there's more to life than you just reaching your personal goals. But this is also the guy who wrote a book a couple hundred pages long that sold a couple hundred million copies, that started out saying it's not about you, but then spent the next 250 pages writing about you and your own personal purpose. And in the end, trying to, in the very end, be able to say what you did with Jesus and what you did for other people. So it kind of, this is typical Rick Warren, that where he will say it's not about you, but as I said, irony is so thick you could walk on it, he ends up making it about you in the end. Now, I want to take issue with one thing he said there. Jesus didn't say that the whole Bible can be summed up with two words, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's a summary of the law, not of the whole Bible. And part of the reason that Rick Warren so badly mangles the scripture when he preaches it is because he understands it essentially to be a rule book. A rule book that if you follow it, things will go well, and if you don't follow it, and Jesus is there, sometimes I wonder why Jesus is there. I mean, why he's even in the Bible. And if it is about, he's just the best rule giver, a rule explainer, rule teacher that there ever was. Does that mean that Rick denies that Jesus is the Savior? No. But that's not what the Bible's really all about for Rick. Really, what the Bible's really all about is not Jesus, but you and what you do with your life.
He doesn't mince any words about it. Jesus doesn't mince words about this. In fact, in Mark chapter 8, verse 35, Jesus says this. Only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the gospel or the good news will ever know what it means to really live.
Okay, if that passage didn't sound familiar to you, there's a reason for that. It's because that passage is not in the Bible. It's in The Message, which is the paraphrase of the Bible that Rick Warren likes to use because it's so easy for Rick to say what he wants to say using The Message. Here is again what Rick says, that passage, Mark chapter 8, 35, says. Bear in mind, this is not what it says, but this is what he says it says. Okay? Only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it really means to live. And as I said, if that didn't sound familiar to you, don't feel bad, because that's not in the Bible. Let me read the real Mark 8:35 for you. I mean, if it matters what the Bible really says, if it matters what the words actually say and not just what we want them to say or we think we can make them say, this is how the passage actually reads. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Does that sound familiar? It should, because that's what Mark 8:35 actually says. You say, isn't he close enough? Well, let's answer that two ways. One, as a matter of principle, close enough isn't good enough when it comes to the Bible. We believe in a verbal inspiration of the Bible, not in just inspiration of ideas or impressions or whatever you think you want it to say. We believe in a verbal, the words actually matter. That's why every Christian should bristle when they hear Rick Warren or anyone else paraphrasing the Bible. The words matter. That's the answer in principle. In actual practice, what it allows Rick to do is to essentially twist every passage, no matter what it may be, into what you have to do. We'll see him do it here in just a minute with a quotation from Isaiah 49, I believe, and it's very glaring in that case. Rick wants to have Jesus not talking about the cross here, because that's what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the cross. Whoever would save his life will lose it. He's talking about himself. Who's going to lose his life? Jesus. And whoever loses his life for my sake, talking about us, and the Gospels will save it. Now, Rick Warren says that says only those who give away their lives for my sake and for the gospel will ever know what it really means to live. This is not about the meaning of life. This is about living or dying. And Jesus says the only way of life is through death. And Christians who know that death, that Christ has died for them, on account of that death, live. Once you take the cross out of crucial passages like that, you can make it say whatever you want. Or in this case, Rick can make it say whatever he wants it to say.
Until you learn to give your life away for God's purpose and plan and mission for your life, until you learn that, to give your life to the mission God created you for, will you ever know what it means to really live? What God is telling us is what psychiatrists know also, that significance in your life does not come from status. Significance does not come from sex. Significance in your life does not come from salary. It comes from service. Only in giving your life away to something greater than yourself will you ever know what it means to really live. And you will be rich, free, and miserable. And so today I want us to look at God's great mission for your life. You were made for more than money. You were made for more than material things. You were made for meaning. You were made for a mission. And that mission is God's great mission for all of eternity.
Now, you may not notice this, but please let me point it out to you. What's going to happen here very quickly with Rick Warren's message on your mission for life, your purpose for life, your meaning in life, real service is, and here I think he's right, real service is giving your life away. And Christians can only do that because their life has already been purchased and won and secured for them. They have nothing to earn before God. They have nothing to prove to God, which I think Rick Warren would probably disagree with. They got nothing to give to God, so they can give whatever they have to their neighbor. God and the Christian are completely square, so everything the Christian has, he is now free to give away in service of his neighbor. But it isn't service to your neighbor if you're doing it to gain something for yourself. That isn't service to your neighbor. It isn't service to your neighbor if you're doing it to fulfill your purpose. If you're doing it to find meaning in your life. That's not service to your neighbor. That's service to yourself, isn't it? Why are you feeding the poor? I want to find the meaning in my life. I want to know what it really feels like to live. So the neighbor, the poor person, is just a means to an end for you, isn't he? What you really want out of this is not your neighbor's good, but your own sense of well-being and meaning in life, isn't it? That's called self-serving, not serving the neighbor. So what Rick says is right insofar as it goes. You were created to give your life away to your neighbor. But the way he presents it is, you give your life away to neighbor so that you can gain something from it, namely knowing what it really feels like to live and having meaning in your life. And that's not serving the neighbor. That's self-service. Really twist it. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona, St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio, Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington, Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana, Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky, and St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Last week, the Harris County Democrat Party near Houston, Texas, had their Christmas party. Only they called it the politically correct holiday party. Guess where they held it? At the largest abortion mill in the Western Hemisphere. The invitation asked them to come to the seven-story, 78,000-square-feet Planned Parenthood. One of the floors will be exclusively dedicated to late-term abortion. I've been there. It's located in the middle of poor and minority neighborhoods. Just the kind of people Planned Parenthood wants to keep from reproducing. Imagine having a Christmas party at this huge place of massive killing. It's like having a Hanukkah party at Auschwitz. I've been there too, and it's no place for a party either. We need to pray for a change of heart in these people.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, a little sermon review on this Tuesday afternoon. It is the 13th of December, and we're coming to you live, reviewing a Rick Warren sermon on God's mission, God's mission for your life. See, in the end, it's not really God's mission, it's your mission. We'll get to that a little bit later. Christmas is coming up. We've got some great Christmas programming coming up here on Issues Etc. In addition to that Christmas present planned for Christmas Eve for our listeners, sacred music for the Christmas season from Lutheran Public Radio, a new website with a new 24/7 radio station there playing sacred music for the Christmas season, lutheranpublicradio.org. Now, we know that you can't write all this stuff down, so You can go to our website, issuesetc.org, and under the support page, you will find the Issues Etc. Christmas Bulletin insert. You can put it in your church's bulletin this weekend and next weekend in advance of the Christmas season. It'll tell you all about talk radio for the Christmas season and sacred music for the Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Now, Andrew writes, he's listening in Minneapolis, he says, the problem with Roran's preaching is that he's saying enough things that are true, or maybe things that sound true, but the undiscerning won't catch it. Here's the problem with a lot of preaching. What they say in and of itself is not untrue. It's what they don't say. And Rick Warren suffers from this in spades. What he leaves out of the Scripture's message is really the point of the Scripture's message. Now, he will a little bit later talk about receiving Jesus as your personal Savior. That's got to be in there. But that's kind of that obligatory footnote of Jesus. But by and large, Jesus is the lawgiver, the rule maker, the guy who instructs us and shows us how to keep all the right rules for your own, so you can find meaning in your life. The new gospel for Rick Warren is not so much self-improvement or self-fulfillment, but the gospel, the goal is ending your life feeling like you've done something important. That's it. Knowing what it really was like to live, not wasting your life. He has a very, in that sense, a very Mormon view of life. It's your chance to do your best and not waste time. But that's kind of replaced Christ's life for you. The real good news is what you do, what you accomplish in your life, so that you can look back, I guess, on Judgment Day or from the perspective of eternity and say, well, at least I didn't waste my life. And for Rick, he's quite clear in his book, 40 Days of Purpose, that there will be people who go to heaven who will have wasted their lives, just thrown them right down the toilet. Oh, just to get to heaven, and they'll maybe they'll get a reward, maybe they won't. But what you really want is to be one of those Christians who gets to heaven, because Jesus just gets you in the door to heaven. The rest is up to you. It's a present-day purgatory. What you really want to be is one of those Christians who gets to heaven and is able to look back and kind of say, wow, what a good boy was I. I didn't waste my life like that slacker over there. Oh, yeah, he made it into heaven. That's just because Jesus died for him. I mean, that's the only reason he made it into heaven, because Jesus died for him. But look at me, I didn't waste my life. I mean, that's what the message ends up being. So let's pick up where we left off. The sermon at Saddleback recently from Rick Warren, God's Great Mission for My Life.
History is his story. It is God's story of what he's doing in the world. If God didn't have a story, there would be no universe. Now, the Bible tells us that the entire universe was created for one purpose. God wanted a family to love. And God created the entire universe just to create this galaxy, to create this planet, to create the human race, to give us the choice to choose to love him or not, and knowing in advance that some of us would choose to love him and to trust him and to be in his family. Everybody is loved by God. Everybody is created by God. Everybody is made in the image of God, but everybody is not in the family of God. You have to choose to be in the family of God. The Bible says we become children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And just like as in physical life, in the spiritual life, there's only two ways you can get into family. The only two ways you can get into family are be born into it or be adopted into it. And in the Bible, both of those metaphors are used for the sign of salvation. You are born again and you are adopted into God's family. Now, once you're in God's family, you become a part of this great plan of history. And all of a sudden, life isn't about you anymore. Life is about God's plan, God's purpose, and God's mission for all of history.
Okay. You might be saying, wow, didn't he just say that people are saved by faith in Jesus Christ? Yes, he did, but he redefined faith, didn't he? Faith in Rick Warren's hands becomes the decision that you made. Isn't it interesting? He almost bumped into the truth, but then carefully avoided it. He's right that the Bible presents salvation as being born again and adopted into the family of God, neither of which has anything to do with a decision that the child makes. The child doesn't decide to be born. The child doesn't decide to be adopted. Rick missed that because, well, largely because his abysmally low view of baptism doesn't permit him to think in terms of baptism as God actually giving new birth to sinners and bestowing faith upon them. God actually adopting sinners into his family. He can't think of baptism that way because he has a low view of baptism. And so he has to put the onus on you. You have to decide to join the family. You have to decide to become part of God's family. And then having made that decision, then life is pretty much about get busy and get to work. And grace got you in the door, but it ain't going to get you any farther. You got to get busy. Fulfill God's mission for your life. Steve is listening in St. Louis. Steve, welcome.
Hey, last time I checked, did you have a decision on which parents you wanted to be born into, Todd?
No, I mean, I was born into a family back in 1964, and they didn't have me pick my parents, and I don't think there's any decision made.
How about adoption? You think the adopting infant has a say in the matter?
Not the last time I checked. I think it's pretty much the parents decided to do that.
That's the problem with it. If you look at Scripture and you start looking at who's making the decisions and all that, usually the Bible uses things like adoption or being born into or like we're dead. And what I find real interesting is how that he has a Pelagian view of salvation.
He actually has a view of salvation that's consistent with his theological background. And Steve, thank you very much, and thanks for listening in St. Louis. One thing the Bible never, ever, 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 ever says is you have to decide to be adopted into God's family. You have to decide to join God's family. You have to decide to be born again. The Bible never says that. But Rick does. So already, there's a problem. But I think the bigger problem that is obviously a huge problem. The bigger problem in the course of Rick's preaching generally is that, okay, good. Now you're a Christian. Big deal. Now what are you going to do? The rest is up to you. Are you going to waste your life? Let's hear some more of it.
And what God is doing right now is he is building a family. And when that family is complete, when the last person who's going to say yes to Jesus Christ has said yes, and you don't know what's going to happen next, except it's going to be a long time and it's going to be in heaven. And then the real show begins. But history is moving toward a climax. History is not circular, it is linear. There was a beginning of history and there will be an end of history. And God in this period has a great mission. And actually, it started at Christmas when God came to earth on his search and rescue mission to save us from our sins. And if that mission wasn't important, we wouldn't be putting up Christmas lights and we wouldn't be putting up Christmas trees and we wouldn't be giving Christmas gifts, because the mission of God is the history of the universe. Now, the moment you become a part of God's family, you're inducted into the mission. And it becomes your life mission too. Jesus said this in John chapter 17. He said, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, I give them a mission in the world.
Actually, Jesus didn't say that. He said, just as you sent me, so I send them. So again, if the words of Scripture matter at all, if they matter, I would just really appreciate if Rick Warren would stick to the actual words rather than what he thinks is the mission is such an important thing. I am free to just jam it in between the actual words of Scripture wherever I darn well please. Because, I mean, isn't Jesus talking about the mission? Don't I have kind of some permission to stick the mission wherever I want it? Don't I have permission to toy with the words of God, the very Word of God, to make my point? No, you don't, Rick. You see, the Bible isn't there to back up what you say. You are there to back up what the Bible says. Christian preachers aren't there to say what they think is important and then find Bible passages to back them up. He had the people start by opening up their Bibles to Mark and then misread the passage. He's bound and determined to say what he wants to say about God's mission for your life. And if a Bible passage can be misquoted to support what he wants to say, then he'll use it. But I can guarantee you, folks, the Bible ain't going to get in the way of Rick saying what he wants to say. We'll be right back.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The cross is always relevant. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Unto You, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Well, as I said, this is almost 70 minutes sermon. We haven't gotten very far into it. It's difficult when there are this many flags on the play. It's like watching a football game when there are just penalties everywhere. You don't end up getting very far. The game lasts a long, long time. That's what you do in your review, a Rick Warren sermon. I want you to note something. For him, he mentioned that Jesus came at Christmas to save us from our sins. That's an allusion to the cross. Let's give him credit for that. But where he puts the cross in the list of God's priorities, it's just the beginning of God's mission. It's not the end of God's mission. It's not the goal. It's just the necessary prerequisite to the real important thing, which is you doing what you got to do. What Jesus did was necessary, but only as a means to an end. The cross of Jesus, the life of Jesus, the death and resurrection of Jesus is just God's means to a greater end, and the greater end is what you do. And you fulfill your mission, and you find your meaning in life. That is as upside down a theology as I have ever heard. David's listening in Kansas City. David, thanks for waiting.
Hey, no problem, Todd. This is David. I was just thinking as I was listening to the sermon that not only is he totally twisting, is Warren twisting this passage as far as what we do, it's in as much as he's twisting it what we don't do, because, you know, when with regard to this text, we do what Peter did, and that is trying to get in the way of the cross. And when we get in the way of the cross, we try to tell Jesus, no, your way is not the right way to do things. Rather, he hands us our cross when we, as we trust in him, we receive what his blessing. And we don't take it up anyway. We simply live out our vocation as he calls us to do. And then it's his... and then anything that comes in our way at us, against us, then, that's just part of the deal. It's not that we have to do anything to rise above it.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. And David, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, Kansas City. That's the problem when you make the cross a mere means to an end. Then you've got to say, well, what's the real big deal? What's the real goal here? The real goal must be something even greater than what Jesus did for us. And for Rick, that is what we do for God. I mean, that's as simple as it is. And as I said, as upside down a theology as I have ever heard, that the cross becomes a means to an end. Now, Rick is not the only one who's guilty of this, by the way. There's a lot of preaching, even in churches that ought to know better, where Jesus becomes a means to a greater end. That is not how Jesus is presented in Scripture. Jesus is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the author, the finisher of our faith. He is the end of death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just the door, the way to get you in the door, and then the rest is up to you. He is the beginning and end of God's plan in history. Now, because Rick has Jesus as kind of the beginning but not the end, he has to substitute someone for Jesus as the real goal of all things. And that someone, not surprisingly, ends up being you and me. So the real important thing, the reason Jesus went to all that trouble, is so that you could do what you have to do. Folks, let me just put it this simply. That's not Christianity. That's closer to Mormonism than Christianity, really. So, this is how he wraps up his sermon, preaching on God's great mission for my life.
I make no apology in saying that being a part of God's mission for your life, God's plan for your life, and this plan right here will be the single most significant thing you do with your life. I don't have any fear of contradiction of that. Because this is going to outlast everything else. It's why the universe was created. God is gathering a family to himself. And he wants everybody to hear it. And he wants that family to know him. And once that family's gathered, it's over. And we're all going into eternity. There is no more significant thing. If I knew a more significant thing to do with my life, believe me, I'd be doing it. Because I decided a long time ago, I'm not going to waste my life. And I haven't. And I don't want you to waste your life climbing to a phony, fake Everest hilltop while people on the side of the road are bleeding and dying and going to hell. God wants that person helped. And God, if you're on the journey, God wants you to help them. That's what Christmas is all about. It's a search and rescue mission. Let's bow our heads. If you have never invited Jesus Christ into your life, you need to do that. Have you been found by Christ? Jesus said, I came to see you can save that which is lost. You ever feel lost? You ever feel like, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't know why I'm here, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing? You ever feel lost like that? You got to get with God and his mission and his plan and purpose for your life. He made you to love you, and he wants you to love him back. Say, Jesus Christ, just say this in your heart, Jesus Christ, I want to know you, and I want to love you, and I want to learn to trust you. And dear God, I want to know your plan and purpose and mission for my life. Make it clear. I open my life up to you today for the very first time. Some of you, you've already prayed that prayer, and you know the Lord, and I ask you to pray two words. Use me. Just pray that. God, use me. I'm going to make the decision before I solve the problems. I don't know when, how, where, why, or any of that stuff. I don't know any of the details. But God, I'm saying, use me. I want to be a part of making history. I want to be a part of fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to be a part of fulfilling my mission in the world. I want my life to have significance. And Lord, we know there's nothing more significant than changing the eternity of people. I thank you, Father, for this church, for every step, how you have led us, you've guided us, you've given us grace. We've been scared to death to make every single move we've made. And we're scared to death on this one. But we don't let our fears dominate us. We do the right thing, whether we fear it or not. We're going to put our trust in you. We're going to ask you to use us and let us find the significance that we were meant to have. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, what do you say? He says the most important thing in your life is what you do with your life. I disagree. The most important thing in your life didn't happen in your life. It happened in Jesus' life. The most important thing in your life is not you or what you do or whether you did or didn't waste your life. Look, God does have a mission, and the cross isn't just the starting point, the necessary prerequisite. The cross is the mission. You can't leave it back in history, Rick, and say, well, okay, Jesus did his part, now the rest is up to us. The cross is God's mission. You're right, it is a search and rescue. And he searches and finds, and those who are found against their will, kicking and screaming, every single last one of them. Jesus doesn't stop and say, are you ready to be saved now? Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be found? No. He just finds and he saves sinners like you and me. Rick says the most important thing that happens in your life is that you don't waste it, that you do something with your life. He even went so far as to say that Christmas is all about you accomplishing that mission. Rick, look again at the manger. Christmas isn't all about you. There's no mirror sitting in that manger, Rick. When you look down in there, you're not going to see your own face. You're going to see the face of God. Christmas is about Jesus for you, not about you for Jesus or you for God. You can empty the manger of that Jesus real fast when you make Christianity, when you make the cross, a means to an end that you somehow accomplish after Jesus has done what he could do for you. Folks, if you appreciate our sermon reviews, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, etc., Christ-centered, cross-focused talk radio. We're almost $38,000 short of making budget this year. That is narrowing, but we need your help. For any sized year-end contribution, we'll send you a CD of two of my sermons, one on Christmas, and it's really going to be about Christ and not about you, the other on the baptism of Jesus that actually has baptism as the real adoption, the real birth. Both of those sermons on one CD for any size gift. You can donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio. Send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at our website, issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening. Thanks for partnering with us during this year. In the second hour of the program, I want you to listen carefully. We're going to be talking with Ronald Scott. He's written a book on Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, An Inside Look at the Man and His Politics. We're going to talk about Mitt Romney and the social issues and Mitt Romney and his Mormonism. You're going to want to hear this. Listen carefully because I want to hear from you after we're done with our conversation with Ronald Scott. Open lines. Are you concerned about Mitt Romney's apparent changes on abortion and marriage? Do you trust him as a candidate for the future to defend life from beginning to end and natural marriage in the same way? We'll be right back with Hour 2.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org.
Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.